Jason, if you will come and read the text for us.
All right, turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 19. Be reading verses 5 through 8. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, start with verse 5. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day you've given us, God, a beautiful weekend, God. I pray that, Lord, we thank you for what you've done, Lord, in our lives, God, each and every day. God, I pray that you would, Lord, be with the message this morning. God, may, Lord, be used to help us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the verses of encouragement and, Lord, the verses that you give us in your word that we can look to, God, and each and every day to help us be better and help us be made better, God. And, Lord, that Lord, we just thank you for your word. God, again, be with the pastor as he speaks this morning. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Talking about Elijah, the prophet Elijah, and calling the message this morning is actually how God dealt with a nervous breakdown. Now, God has a way of dealing with this in the Old Testament, and the God Jesus in the New Testament. We'll just read a couple of verses from that later on toward the end of the message. But how God dealt with a nervous breakdown. I don't hear the term nervous breakdown. They must have gotten more sophisticated in the terms they use for that. When I grew up in the country, they would talk about nerve. I remember I had an aunt, and she talked about having a nervous breakdown. And it was a very serious matter. She said, "I worked hard for it. I think I've earned one. I think I'm going to have one next Friday." So I like that spirit toward a serious concern, is that we work hard for it. We work hard again. And it's less difficult these days to have a nervous breakdown, because there's enough around you just to drive you crazy without working at it at all. Well, this is how God dealt with Elijah. Elijah went through some, and you know the story, and how he's very, very discouraged. And it's an amazing thing. Early on, he's talking about after Jezebel gets after him, you know, says, "I'm going to take his life." And then he asks God to take it. And he just going back to Jezebel. Jezebel could have provided that service for him, I'm sure. But how God dealt with a nervous breakdown. At the very top of his life, the prophet Elijah suffered something akin to a nervous breakdown. It's very helpful to see how God dealt with this malady in 1 Kings 19. The Lord's treatment program contained the following statement. There are a number of things here. I've listed eight things that will help us, not just the nervous breakdown, but discouragement and trials and struggles, and all of us go through all of that. But there are eight things. I'll try to cover them. Then get over to Christ's prescription. Some of the things we find in Matthew 11 about what Christ says, that when you come to him, that he'll do for you. Some of these things take place. And God's prescription here from in the Old Testament. So first is this. God prescribes sleep and nourishment. And that's in 1 Kings 19, 5 through 8. And some of these you could mark, because you'll probably need them, especially if you're planning on Friday and having something close to a nervous breakdown, or some Friday in the future. Angelic assistance was dispatched. Angelic assistance. Now, the angels were sent out. God sent the angels out. And then Elijah allowed to speak honestly and openly. We'll take them, just take them verse by verse. You can look at each of them in each verse. God's prescribed sleep and nourishment. We'll come back to that one. The angels were sent. Look in verses 5. And 7, verses 5 and 7, verses 5 and 7. The Bible says, "And Elijah lay down and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and sleep.'" And then in verse 7, the angel comes back. "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat.'" And that's a good way to get started. God sends an angel. God sent an angel, even encouraged Jesus, when Jesus was somewhat needing after the temptation of the devil and so on. He had a prescription even for our Lord when he was healed. The human side of our Lord. So we have here first, the first is assistance from the angels. I believe in angels. I believe in angels. I believe they're about us this morning, all about us. I believe there are certain angels that are assigned to us. I believe that when a person, whether it's conception or birth, they have angels assigned to them. You cannot explain how the children don't get into more trouble as far as hurting themselves and hitting themselves up at corners and all of that without there being angels from time to time just to help them keep their balance and not bumping. It's bad enough what the angels let them do, but good enough, can you imagine what the angels keep them from? So the whole idea, I believe they have, and we all have angels. All of us have angels assigned to us. I believe an angel. So here's the angel evidently assigned to Elijah. Twice the angel comes, and first it says here, as you lay and slept, an angel came, and then in verse 7, the angel came again the second time and does some things for him too as he comes. Then also, Elijah was allowed to speak honestly and openly. And this is verses 9 through 11. God, you can remind God of what he said in Scripture. You do that honestly, and you do that in faith, and God promises something in Scripture. Father, we're trying to do this. We're trying to be obedient to the Word of God. If you have some, let me tell you how I get through the ball games, the basketball in particular, and then the soccer and all of that. But what I'll do, I'll pray to the Lord. I say, Lord, I'd like for the team to win. These are good guys. These are good girls. These are good guys. And I like them with them, Lord. Now, we got the best coaches in the whole wide world. Nobody has better coaches than we do. We've got a supreme group of coaches. I said, Lord, I'd like for them. And I believe you'll answer this prayer unless you have something higher in mind. Unless you got something else in mind, I'm asking you to do this. But if you've got something else in mind that bring more glory to you, then you just let this one ride and we'll pick it up next year. And so then you know how when you lose at sports, you guys know how to win. I'm talking about how to lose. You know how, and you don't learn how to lose. But when you lose, there are certain unwritten rules about the whole thing. And one of the unwritten rules is don't say anything to anybody on the opposing team. You go by and shake hands with them, but they're not in the frame of mind to talk. The group is just lost. They're not looking for fellowship. They're looking for consolation. Not a consolation game either. They're looking for consolation. I'm just saying. So there's some unwritten rules because everybody sort of at a little. The pitch is a little high, right? It's just a little bit high. And so the idea here is what you want to do is now you wait a little while and you'll be fine. You wait a little while and you realize how silly it was for you to be so upset. Except the team. Those who play never understand why it was they didn't win. But I'm saying, so the idea here is that the pitch is taken up a little bit. But I pray and I ask the Lord, I said, Lord, if it's not against your will, if you could glorify yourself higher and better, then you do that. And so this year, and some of the years we've had, God chose, other times he's chosen to bring honor to himself through the team. So the idea here, you can say thanks to the Lord God. Just tell him what's on. Why wouldn't you tell him what is on your heart? He already knows what's on your heart. He knows your thoughts before you put them in the words. He knows what you're thinking right now, and that's pretty dangerous. He knows exactly what you're thinking right this minute. So why wouldn't you tell him what you're thinking? But you do that. Our children growing up, our children can say anything they wanted to say to us respectfully and honestly. They could bring that to us. Anything they wanted to say, they could bring that to us. But they had to do that in a way that respected everything we believe in, everything we practice. It had to come under those guidelines. But with those guidelines, they could speak anything they wanted to. And we were open. The end result of that is all of our children love to talk. They love to fellowship with each other. You would think that our children would see each other for 6 months. And last night, and there's John, Mark, and Jason here for the prayer meeting last night. And they're still talking. So they finish talking in the gym. John Mark goes out. Mr. Brothers and Brother John Mark comes out, both of them. And they comes out and he heads to the car. He pulls up in the car. And then Jason walks out. I said, we left here, they're still talking. The same thing was true with Becca and the whole crowd. They just talk on, don't the brother see? Talk on and on and on and on. Now he's catching it. Just talk. And the reason for that is you're able to just say anything to God you want to. Anything you want to. God allowed Elijah here to say anything he wanted to. Look at verse 9 of the text. Verse 9. The Bible says, and it came thither, and he came thither, Elijah, unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Look what he's saying. He said, I've been pretty good. I've been very jealous for the Lord of God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. He said, I'm doing pretty good. Thrown down thine altars. I mean, this crowd's been against you, the children of Israel, and slain their prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Have you ever thought that way? You were the only one really standing? Have you really? Never got that spiritual, did you? Says here, he says here, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant. and thrown down thine altars. All of this. And he can say anything he wants to the God. So can we. So just be honest with the Lord and be respectful and be honorable when it comes to the things of God. He already knows what you're thinking. Talk to him about those things. The greatest burden of your heart, talk to him about those things. And here's Elijah speaking in a very honest way. He was allowed to speak honestly and openly. Then also, God has something to say back to him. God reminds him. This is what we need reminded of, especially if we're talking about nervous breakdown or discouragement or those things that pull us down. We need to be reminded of God's power, what we have available to us. We are sons of God through Jesus Christ, and the Bible, the Lord God speaks to Elijah about his power in verses 11 and 12. And he said, God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great, you see how he's just talked to the Lord? He's just being honest with the Lord. He said there's no one else. And he said they want to kill me, and they thrown down the altars. The Israelites have thrown down the altars, and he says that they slain thy prophets with the sword. And so God says, I'm going to help him out. And see, I promise you this: God will give you something every time you need something if you look at the right in the right place. You look for it in the Word of God. Every time you need something, God will give you something. Every time you need help, God will show up and give you. You look into the Word of God. I learned this when I was in school in Lynchburg. And then in the mornings, I'd get up and I would read the Psalms over and over and over again. And every time I'd read the Psalm, before the day was out, I needed something that took place in that Psalm. You read the Word of God, and as you're looking for that, God will give it to you. See, Elijah's looking for something. Elijah's discouraged. He's saying, God, I'm the only one left. And they're seeking to kill me. They killed the prophets. He says, so they know how to kill. He said that this was thrown down. They thrown away the covenant. They thrown down the altars. He said, I need something. God said, I got something for you. I promise you, every time you need something, but if you get sulky, is that a word? If you get sulky and you get cross and you get crossways with God and you're not looking in the Word of God, you're not looking to your time with the Lord in prayer, then you're not going to find anything because you're not looking for it. You won't find it. You find it in the Word of God. And so God says, I got something for you here. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Good night. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's God. And Elijah's just been talking about how bad things are. He'd seen some great things recently also. Yeah, how great and strong wind rent the mountains. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. That'd be a good show, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, have God just show up in His power. I mean, after you see this, you can challenge hell with a bucket of water after you see this. So then break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Power was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. That is really an earthquake. What do you hold on to in an earthquake? Huh? What do you hold on to? You say, I'm going to grab somebody else. Well, they're shaking too. I'm going to grab a tree. Well, the tree is shaking too. Well, what are you going to do? Make sure you try to not fall into the quake somewhere. Just make sure. What do you do in an earthquake? Here's a case. A great and strong. The earthquake. The Lord was not in the wind and the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice here in the Word of God. A still small voice after the fire. After the mountains, after the wind, after the rocks were blown all to pieces, a still small voice. Here it is. Here it is. The great things that God does, He knows, so does in quiet. In quiet. Told my doctor this week, I said, there are no emergencies but medical emergencies. He said, I got to get away and go over to New York for some kind of run competition. So I got to get away and get there. I said, there's not an emergency. I said, only emergency you have with me is my emergency. If it's medical. You the doctor, I'm the patient, and I'm losing my patients. And so the idea is, see, God does things in the small way with us. Let me ask you this. When you got saved, what took place in your body, in your heart, in your life, when Jesus Christ came, the Holy Spirit of God came to live within you? How many witnessed that? Huh? How many were there for that? What came? The still, small voice. What encourages me now? With assurance, the still, small voice. What did I believe? The Word of God. The still, small voice. How many people saw that happen when you were saved? Where did that take place when you were saved? The still small voice came into your heart and soul. The still small voice convicted you about salvation. The still small voice led you to someone, led you to Christ. Or you'd heard how to be saved and you got saved by yourself. The still small voice. God's in the still small voice. God's in all the other. But you see, the still small voice gets us lined up for heaven through Jesus Christ forever and ever. The earthquake, that didn't save us. The rocks being blown about didn't save us. The strong winds didn't blow, windy didn't save. What saved us, he's showing Elijah his power. But the power's in the still small voice. It's not in the loudness. It's not in takes place in our soul, in our life. And so Elijah's getting exactly what he wants, And then in verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, that which led you to Christ. Someone tells you the way. The Holy Ghost of God comes inside of you and leads you to Calvary. And then leads you to assurance and leads you to life that he's laid out for you. The still small voice was needed. It was needed. God then now begins, after he's shown him his power, he begins to put some things together for him. He begins to lay out some things for him. And then verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, same chapter, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of the Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. He said, Elijah, it's not as bad as you think it is. He said, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. He said, Elijah, it's not as bad as you think it is. Let me tell you this morning, it's not as bad as you think it is. You say, our country's in bad shape. Yeah, I know God's in control of everything. It's not as bad as you think it is. You say, I need some help with this malady, this sickness, this trouble, this discouragement. I need some help. Hey, it's not as bad as you think. I tell you what I always tell people when I count. Write me down five things that are breaking your heart right now. Five things. Write me down five things you're discouraged about right now. Five things. Just give me five things. Most of them can't get to five. True, there's some of them very, very great, very, very troubling. But most people cannot even get to five things that are breaking your heart right now. Five things. It'll be one or two. You said, that's enough to break. Well, I know it is, but it's not as bad as you think it is. It's not as bad as you think it is. God says to Elijah, it's not as bad as you think it is. He said, that still small voice that comes and gives us encouragement through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, he said, it's not as bad as you think it is. And not only that, he gave him some things to do. He said, I laid out a scenario here for you. He's talking all the things. Here's from 15 all the way through there. He said, I've got some things for you to do. God's got some things for us to do, so get up and get going. Then also, you always learn when you spend time with God, you always learn that things are not as bad as they appear. And then look at this. This is very, very good. This is where the church is. In verse 19. So he declared thence and found Elisha, the son of Japheth, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him. And he, with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. You know what he provided next? A good friend. God provided for Elisha, a good friend. Nothing like a friend. Those friends that gave Job all that trouble in the Old Testament, Job just had a time, didn't he? And they were talking and they were talking. They were trying to, the whole problem with that, they were always saying, you have all this trouble because you have sin in your life. And that's not always necessarily so. It can be that. But just because you're having sin in your life, not necessarily. Job was living righteously. Joseph was not committed any sin. The friends came. And they, let me tell you, they may have messed up after they got started good. But you know what they did when they first came? They had 7 days. 7 days, a full week, and they said nothing. 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 You know sometimes what a friend needs? Tell me about it.
They don't need a lot of counsel, a lot of talking. They need to know somebody loves
She just grabbed a hold of him and hugged him and said, I love you. You know what you need to do with your wife sometimes when she's discouraged? Just squeeze her so tight she can't hardly breathe. You have to let up and let her breathe. Let me tell you something else. Don't you let go till she lets go. Understand me? Don't you let go till she lets go. You say, how you know you're going to win this battle? Because you're stronger than she is, most of you. Some of you, you'll give in. Those of you can handle this, you'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to handle it. And don't you let go till she lets go. Because sometimes when you're feeling your worst, you know what you need? You men, you come in from work, and your wife's been with the children all day, and she's only got 2 children, but she seems like 7. She's only got 4 children, seems like 8 or 9. She's only got 5 children, seems like 21. And she says, oh, you don't know, you don't know. And you don't know. It'd kill you to find out what she goes through while you're gone. You're too weak for it. You can't handle that. And what you can do is walk over to her and say, I know, hon. And you just give her a hug, and you hug her. You hug her till she lets go. You just hug her. And let the kids see you hugging her. Got to speak volume without saying a word. Not saying a word. Most of the time, after we met with the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't meet with a friend. The friends that came with Joe for 1 week, they didn't say anything at all. 7 days, they didn't say anything at all. And God provided for Elijah a friend. There are some other friends, but I've got to get over to the other part. There, let me just read you this and take it to the New Testament. It says here, I really like this part. Look at verse 5. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, an angel touched and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head, and he did eat and drink. And he went back to sleep, and he lay down again. You need some rest. You need some rest. You need some rest. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. This is a good angel, isn't it? This is a good angel. It's just sitting at the table, sitting at the table, sitting at the table. Because the journey is too great. And he rode and then eat, and he went for a long period of time under that eating. Here's what you need also. You need some rest. You need some rest. You may need some nourishment. You need some help. Now, Jesus, all the way over. I like that eating part. Over to Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to have to cut this short. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. That is God's prescription, the Father's prescription in the Old Testament. There are some other things I could give you, but the eating part, the resting part, and the other things I've shared with you, you can go back and read this, and there's a still small voice waiting for you each time you go, especially read Elijah in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. And then, here in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, see, there's a couple of things here we can identify with from the Old Testament. Verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what God gave to Elijah. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, let me just cut to the latter part of this message. Jesus says here, come to me, all your labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Then he says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the yoke is made easy. You let Jesus Christ take your burden. The yoke in the Bible, the yoking of the Bible, is a few times used. They yoked up some oxen when they're carrying the ark. But a few times is it actually listed as being yoked together with oxen, or it says that a donkey and an ox shouldn't be linked together. The yoke is a form of good subjection. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, he said, and my burden is light. It's a picture. It's the picture of yoking up with the Lord and agreeing with the Lord and with what we find in the Word of God. Because those who are yoked up are pulling together. They're working together to get the job done. Get life and make life pleasant for each other. They're working together. And when you're yoked up with Jesus Christ, that means you agree with the Lord. See, when I read the Bible and I find things that may be disagreeable to my flesh, and the Holy Spirit actually leads me to be agreeable with that, it'll be a yoke to me if I pull in a different way, away from the Lord. If I'm yoked up with Him and there's something that I want to do, This is what I want to do. This is what the flesh gets to do. And I pull away. And I'm trying to pull Christ away. And I'm moving away from the Lord God because the yokes are holding us together because you make a commitment to that. And it brings rest, yoking up with the Lord. The best you know how to surrender your will, your life. The only thing you can give to Him is your will, your will, your will, your will. All the rest of the things you're giving back to Him. The rest of it, the money you're giving back to Him. Time you're giving back to Him. Life you're giving back to Him because He's giving you all of that. Possessions you're giving back to Him. Ah, but your will. You can yoke up with Him and give your will to Him. And the two of you go forward for Jesus Christ's glory, for God the Father's glory. Ah, prescription. Jesus, the chief physician. He says, get some rest. Get some rest. He says, come unto me and yoke up with me. That's when they take the two animals. They put the yoke on each one of the oxen. You'll be yoked up with Christ. I know that's your desire. I know that's what you're striving. I know what you're doing. That's what you're doing. I know that. I know that. I know that. Just in case you pulled away, maybe you've been bucking a little bit there when it comes to the yoke. Maybe you've been pulling in the wrong direction. That's going to bring you difficulty. That's going to bring you problem. That's going to run you back to 1 Kings 19 and the full prescription. Jesus says, here, come and yoke up with me. May God help us to do that. May God help us to do that. May we give our will to the Lord God. And may we so mesh with His will that we do His will with our lives. I like both prescriptions. I think it's like going to God the Father, prescription from God the Father. And then set up a follow-up appointment with Jesus Christ in the New Testament. God the Father lays out in particular. And then Jesus in the New Testament says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. I need some rest, don't you? I need some rest. Brother Jim, you need some rest, my friend. You need some rest. I need some rest. But I know where to go. I know where to go. Since I came to Christ in 1966, I don't have to work on my salvation anymore. I have to work, try to earn my way to heaven anymore. It is done. It is finished. It is done. It is finished. Man, we keep them. I came in the other night, and that song, good night, out of the 60s and 70s. It is finished. It is finished. It is good night. I'm telling you what I did. I spoke in tongues almost. I spoke in tongues almost spoken. I'm telling that it, you know how those songs just get you sometimes. It's like a breath of wind that whoosh, comes in there and just takes your soul and just lifts you up. I wondered if the rapture was going to take place tonight. I knew my head was hitting the ceiling. Couldn't get through the ceiling because I didn't have the glorified body yet. And the music just took. Oh man, the whole it is finished. It is finished. I rest in that. I rest in that. Let's stand for prayer, y'all. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the moments, just like that. Thank you for the moments that come that we just didn't, I'm sorry to say earn, Father, but that, we don't earn any of it. But you know, we didn't prepare for it. And all of a sudden, from time some years ago, it just comes all over us. So the Holy Spirit, I think it's the Holy Spirit just love to hear it in us. He won't leave us alone. And it gets us even moving toward it. Oh, the joy of all of it. And thank you for your prescription when the times get tough here, Lord. You're such a good Savior to us, such a good God to us. And God the Father, thank you for the full prescription in the Old Testament. Thank you for the follow-up visit, physician, my Lord Jesus, in the New Testament. Thank you for the yoke. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name. I hear you by the eyes closed. You need to come this morning. You come. It's the latest faith interest. You come. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. Just as I am in waiting not to
Aren't you glad that Jesus took notice this morning to know that we were here? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit took notice this morning to know that we're here? Aren't you glad we get to visit with Him if we come in this place and meet with Him? Thanks for coming.
We do thank You for bringing us together today, and I pray, Lord, You continue to be with, Lord, each person's here, Lord, each family, and Lord, just different situations that we're all going through, and so I pray that You'd be a help to each one, and Lord, You know some physical problems, some other difficulties, Lord, that are ongoing. Just be with each of those. And Lord, I pray for all of us to keep our eyes on You, Lord. And just we know that if we'll do that, You'll take care of us. And Lord, help us to trust You. And Lord, many times You send things to see how much we are willing to trust You. Help us to be greater in faith than we've ever been, and to continue to try to share with others, Lord, what You've done for us. Bless us. Give us a great week as we go out from here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.